Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. It's another early morning. It is 5:40 over here. So again, most of the time I have to knock these solo episodes out while the girls are asleep. So I'm here with my morning cup of coffee and I'm glad you've joined me. Hello, YouTube. Good morning. I've made myself a little more presentable today. At least next to the row. My husband gave me the hardest time about showing up last time in just my glasses and my robe and all that. He's like, you could have at least dropped the robe. And I'm like, hey, look, it was early. The robe is so me. And I can't tell you how much feedback I actually get that people just love that I just show up with messy action. And that's actually one of the pieces of the things we're going to talk about today. It's one of the components to what we're going to talk about. So anyways, just to start the podcast off as well, if you do love this episode or any of the episodes that you've listened to, if you can take a quick second to go leave a 5-star review on iTunes, that would be so appreciated. It just really raises awareness about the podcast. It looks really good. So when I'm talking to big guests to get them come on, a lot of people will go and look at the reviews and see kind of what people are saying about the podcast and stuff. And so it just really helps it look credible and look really good. So if you can just take a second, if you really do enjoy this podcast, and give it a 5-star review. And if you want to leave a comment, that's awesome. And then of course, extraordinary help would be to share the episode that you were listening to that you really loved. Screenshot it and share it to your stories and tag me, and I'll also reshare you. So, all right, so let's dive into today's topic before little children arise. They're both sick, so who knows what could happen. So, today's topic is how to get in shape after babies. Okay, so I have a past episode on this from Getting in Shape with Malia. But round two is different and you've got another child on top of that. It's even busier. It's even more wild. And I know so many of you have even more than two children. And so I do get a lot of questions like, how do you get in shape after kids? What do you do juggling them all, when you're busy, if you're, you know, working mom as well and all that stuff. So that's what we're going to cover today. How to get in shape after babies. And I basically have 4 key things. And then in those 4 key things, I'll also talk about specifically what I do, and for me particularly, and give y'all some tips and tricks for some actual like implementation of some health and wellness things you can do. But so the first thing, which sounds so simple, but number one is you have to plan. Anyone that has kids, or frankly, this is going to apply to anybody who's just busy. Like I got asked a similar question, not about having kids, but how do you stay in shape when I was in graduate school? You know, everybody in med school is gaining the freshman 15 and beyond, right? You like get the most unhealthy when you're in med school. It's like all the most unhealthy people by the end of it, because you're working to study to get people their health back, right? So it seems so counterintuitive. So similar, you know, but different reason for life being busy. But you have to plan. I always tell people, and I know y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times, but you know, you either plan to succeed or you plan to fail. So you just have to plan. And especially when you have more than one child, but even with one, depending on what little phase of life they're in or phase in their development, it's going to give you different exercise windows. So unfortunately, as wonderful as it would be to keep things the exact time every day, which maybe you can do that. Some kids are very routine, which is great. But I think most of them probably aren't, or they just get thrown off. So there's going to be different windows, but those windows will last for certain amounts of time, and then you'll realize when a shift is happening. So there's different windows that will become your like health and wellness exercise windows, depending on their age and stage. And so then you just, that work dictates your workout schedule. So for me, like right now, well, so when Sailor was first born, she didn't take a consistent, like, you know, twice a day nap that was like 2 hours long or anything. It was definitely like a lot of sleeping in the day, you know, shorter increments, especially if she was sleeping hands-free. She at least would do that, unlike Malia, who literally had to be held all the time. But, you know, so you can kind of plan for at least a 30-minute segment where you may not have to hold the baby. Now, again, I feel you moms out there who are like, my kid won't do that. I get it. Malia would not let me do that as well. So I totally know what that's like. So if they're a newborn though, let me just tell you, there are so many exercises that you can do holding a newborn. I mean, it's just the reality. I mean, how much do you want this? So you might have to implement different strategies like that and get creative. But if they will let you set them down, you can kind of count on a 15 to 30 minute window where you might not have to hold them and they're going to be asleep. So, you know, especially, and you'll be able to get to know your child. Like, you can't really even work out for the first 8 weeks at least, right? So start paying attention to their routines, and you'll know when is their best times of day. And so for my kids, for both of them, it was kind of mid-morning is when they took their best rests. Even if it was just 30 minutes, it was pretty consistent that, like, that was their happiest time. The least restless sleep time. And so you say, okay, that's when I'm going to do my exercise, and that's when you do it, and you keep it short, you keep it sweet, and so that's one of the things that I just did. So at this point, though, so now it's different, is we'll get into the details of what those workouts look like, how you keep them short and sweet and all that stuff in a minute, but we're talking about the plan right now, really being intentional, thinking, being aware, having awareness. I know it can be hard when you're in such a sleep stupor in that newborn phase or whatever phase it is, especially when you've got more than one. But you just got to have awareness of what, you know, what your surroundings look like. When is the day most chaotic? When is it the least chaotic? When can you count on things being the most consistent? That's really key. You know, maybe even when they're newborns, maybe for you, their time with like your other kid is conked out and the newborn's pretty good and asleep and does say good in a bassinet or whatever. And maybe that's 5 a.m, you know, especially in newborn phase, that's all like neither here nor there, because your days aren't really like, oh, that 5 a.m. is too early. No, you're up every hour to 2 hours anyway, especially if you're breastfeeding. So, you know, all that time is relative in newborn phase. So if it's 5 a.m., it's 5 a.m., you know, so plan. The other thing is in plan is I thought, okay, I knew in the beginning I was taking it kind of easy. So I kind of planned for the best sleep window to be when I would try to work out as far as like lift weights. But then as far as cardio went, I just wanted to get moving. That was my main goal in the very beginning, is I planned to get moving. So any day that was going to be nice outside and not too cold or not too hot, the plan dead set, because I wasn't be going anywhere, I wasn't going to be making it to a gym, was going to be to take a walk outside and with the family. And the kids were loving that. I was going to implement that into the routine, get Sailor used to it. So again, my plan ahead of time for cardio was that it was going to be a walk. If it was too hot or cold, then I would have to do that on the treadmill. And if I needed to put the baby in the baby carrier and walk on the treadmill with her, which I did that so many times, then that's what I was going to need to do. So again, that was my plan for cardio. It was just to take walks outside, ideally. That was going to be good for my mental health. That's going to be good for the kids. It's good family time. But if that couldn't happen, it was going to be on the treadmill. I was going to put Malia on a show where she likes to watch me walk on the treadmill and play in the spare room. So that was that plan. And then the other plan was for the sleep window to do my weightlifting. So that's kind of plan. Also, if you can enlist your spouse or significant other, if you have one, or any family members or friends, obviously do that as well. Many of us don't have the luxury of doing that, or it just doesn't work out for the timing. Like, the times Kellen would be available to help isn't really when it's going to work out for me. So I have just found a way to fit it in and not have to rely on needing somebody like that. But if you have that and you guys can plan a trade-off, hey, you can get your exercise here, or here's your you time and can I have my me time, that's a great cycle that I know a lot of people do too. So number two is start small. I think this is where so many people accidentally sabotage themselves is like, I get it. You've spent 9 months growing a baby in your belly. There's so many things you can't do, you can't eat, you can't have. You get really naturally more lethargic, or at least I did, again, which is shocking to a lot of people, because being the fitness chick or whatever, you would think that I just like worked out the whole time. But there's so many people that I know that were pregnant that worked out so much more than I did when I was pregnant. And so, you know, I just wasn't this, I didn't work out all the time. I did my best, but you know, I just definitely didn't lift as much as usual. Definitely, obviously not as heavy. And so I just, you know, was feeling very lethargic like many of you as we start, you know, the healing process. You've just birthed this baby, you're exhausted. So take your time. So, I mean, you've got the first 8 weeks to like even get approved. So that's the first thing. I'm like, I waited until I was cleared. Don't start too early. Like, don't push it. Some people are like amped to go at 6 weeks, you know, and I mean, everybody's different, I guess, but you know, give yourself time to heal, like especially your core. That's how you mess around and actually get these hernias or diastasis recti and these different things. Your like, your stomach's been thinned out. I mean, think about it. It's been stretched. It's thin. Like, really give it time to heal and listen to your body and see how things feel. So, like, I was cleared at 6 weeks. I tried a couple things, totally body weight. It just felt too early. So I didn't do anything till 8 weeks. Then I started again, and it felt a lot better, but I just really had to take it easy. I could tell, especially my core, Sailor sat different. I talked about that on the last podcast. She kind of sat diagonally, and she really had lodged up under my right rib cage. And even still today, my right rib cage kind of hurts. It doesn't feel quite right. I don't know what she did to it. She definitely bent it out. I can feel it. It's not flush, but anyways. So it didn't feel right in my core for a while. So I didn't do anything too heavy. I did body weight stuff. I took it really easy. And definitely waited to start, because I just didn't want to mess around and get a hernia and push too hard. So wait till you're cleared and then just start with body weight stuff. And again, you're starting in these small windows, most likely, of time that you'll have to work out. So 15 to 30 minutes, you're doing pretty good. And so I just kept it to like do some body weight, lower body exercises, and do anything upper body that was body weight that I could do, or just really lightweight, because a lot of the body weight things I would need to do were going to involve my core, and my core just didn't really feel ready. So I just did really lightweight dumbbells. So I did like maybe 2 exercises, maybe 3 for lower body, and then upper body. And so I would do like a lower body exercise, and then I would do an upper body and kind of alternate them. So it kind of made a total body workout for 15 to 30 minutes. And I liked doing that because, again, I was going to start small, so because I'd been doing absolutely nothing for a while. And so I wanted to just aim for 1 time a week weightlifting / body weight, you know, very lightweight. So I was aiming for my plan of the wean in process, starting small, was to do 1 a week of some kind of workout, and then as many times a week as I could that fit in the walks outside, which were fun, nice. Our neighborhood in particular is very hilly, so it's not an easy walk. But even if it was an easy walk, that's moving your body. It's more than your body's probably been doing for even that past 8 weeks after having your kid, right? So it's all still so new. So starting small. And then I knew, again, because I already pre-planned the projection, I knew where I wanted to get. So again, in that planning phase, know where your ultimate goal is. Like, that's realistic. That's a lifestyle that you can achieve with kids in their young stages. So for me, I knew it was realistic to work my way up to lifting 3 days a week and doing 3 like intentional cardio sessions a week. Anything else extra was just bonus. Wasn't going to stress about getting the anything extra. And really, I'd say on average, I get 2 to 3 solid weightlifting sessions in, and then 2 to 3 intentional cardio sessions and some clusters of like family walks here and there. So like on top of that. So that's where I knew I wanted to go. But starting out with just 1, don't aim for 5 days a week right out of the gate. But so many people do. Or even if it is 3, they're like, okay, I'm gonna get 3 right out of the gate. And then of course, that's so hard to achieve. You've not been doing it. Your body's not used to it. You've got all these kids you're juggling. Your kids aren't used to it. That's the other thing you have to think about, is this is a new routine for them. Everybody's out of whack. There's a new kid involved. It's just too much. And so many times we go too fast. So for weightlifting, I was aiming for 1 a week. Short durations, and then add things in layers. This is one of the things that really helps people. Hang on, I'm gonna take a sip of coffee. Okay, So there's different layers, right, to becoming healthy and fit after your babies and in general. You've got food, your nutrition. That is number one, because you can work out all day long and it's heavy and it's hardcore and burn all kinds of calories. But if you are eating tons of calories and unhealthy calories, it's just going to cancel out. So nutrition's number one. You got to eat good. You got to eat healthy. So nutrition, and then there's weightlifting. So the exercise, working those muscles so you can have shape and tone. There's cardio for heart health, to help kind of be the gas pedal if you need to burn fat. I'd say those are kind of the three main components. And of course there's, you know, mental, taking some time. If you need some spiritual practice, meditation, whatever it is, so mental. But all these layers, people try to add all the layers in right out of the gate, trying to get their food in order, they're trying to get the workouts in, they're trying to get the cardio in, and again, it's just too much. I can't say it enough, and it just made you good for a week or two, and then you fall off the bandwagon, and then you feel bad about yourself, and then you feel like you're not doing good enough, and then you try to, you know, go back to drawing board, and it just becomes a stop-start thing. And so I always tell people, I'm like, consistent is the key. Like, it is better for you to, like, the compound effect, and we're going to get into that next. But doing something small consistently over a longer duration of time is going to accomplish more than the person who does a ton in 1 week, stops for 2 weeks, does a ton the next week, stops for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and stop start. It's just, that's the way it's going to be. So think again, going back to the planning phase, which is the first layer you want to address. And so a lot of people, I recommend start with food, because again, that's something you can start with as soon as you've had your child, okay, is the food part. So then again, especially after kids, you're not trying to calorie restrict, you're not trying to do that, especially if you're breastfeeding. So just aim to eat good quality foods, a lot of colors, right? Stop when you're full, so again, and it depends on how far off you've gotten. I tell people to kind of look at, like, how far off were you? Were you, like, eating pretty much good, but may have, you know, some candy here and there, or, you know, just look at where you're at and say, okay, what's one thing this week? If, say, you drink a bunch of Cokes, like, not Diet Cokes, but real Cokes, it's got a lot of sugar in it. So say you drink one Coke a day, then maybe try, instead of drinking one Coke 7 days a week, try doing it 6 days a week and do that for a week, or maybe even two. And when you feel like you've got that down, then do it for five, and then do it for four. And, you know, and you can play with it. If you could drop two a week and have them separated, you can try that. You know, whatever you think that you can truly mentally handle as far as the change to acclimate. And then when you're done with the Cokes and you're like, okay, good, I've had one Coke a week, that's awesome, I've got a different substitute that makes me happy. Now look at your food. Okay, do you go to McDonald's 5 times a week? Okay, let's nip it to 3 and try that, you know, or what. So again, you see what I'm saying? You're adding in layers. You don't have to, like, hit a full-on perfect eating whatever routine right out of the gate. Just look at how you can change simple things. Can I eat from home? Can I make myself a burger from home? That's way better. Like, get my own burger meat, season it myself, get my own buns, and, you know, make simple exchanges. But again, don't aim to do that for every meal all of a sudden. If you've not been doing that, just pick how to get a little better each week. And so add them later. So you've got 8 weeks to work on adding the layers of food and getting your food on track and figure out how, and again, you can figure out how you want to do that. There's a million ways to get in shape nutritionally. There's so many methods. And again, after babies, really the most important thing to think about isn't that you have to be, you know, you're not needing to be calorie restrictive. You're just, if you think about it, like, even for your breast milk, say, it's going to be more quality. Like, what is a burger and fries breast milk quality going to be compared to, like, steak and potatoes breast milk? And how is your body going to feel mentally and physically and emotionally from the sustenance that you attain from the calories and the nutrients and all that stuff that's available in your burger and fries versus steak and potatoes? So again, it's not even about, like, they could be, say, the same calories, but what's the value of those calories? is what you can start thinking about. So you're not trying to calorie restrict. I'm not telling you can't have carbs for dinner and carbs even for bed. And again, like I said, your clock when you got a newborn, you're on a 24/7 clock, not a, okay, I woke up at 7 or 8 and I'm going to go to bed at 10 or 11. No, you're around the clock. You are constantly working your butt off. So for me, get in shape after babies. There's not been this calorie restriction. Of course, I'm not breastfeeding anymore, but even still, it's just about thinking about quality nutrition, quality calories. What kind of calories am I getting, you know, for the same exchange? So work on your food for the first 8 weeks, then aim for that one workout a week, etc. So I won't waste too much time on this because we've got a couple more sections to go. But you see what I'm saying? Add in layers. Don't set yourself up to fail. Don't do too much at once. Don't try to conquer the world right out of the gate. Start small. Add in layers. You still have your plan. You're not staying small forever, but you're going to build the compound effect. And this goes into our third piece of advice, I suppose, is consistency. So again, we already touched on the compound effect. Doing small things consistently over time is going to get you the most results. It's going to make it a lifestyle change. It's going to make it not be a fad diet. It's not going to make it be a crash course thing. It's not going to make you go off on a crazy binge. You know, it's going to be something you can truly attain. So there's different aspects of consistency to help stay consistent. So number one, you're going to have patience. Another coffee sip for a second. You're going to have patience. So I get it. I want results fast. Trust me. I want to look good fast. I'm used to, you know, being in fitness competitions. You can have a real tight prep and be stage ready, ripped in 3 months. And so that's where like my mind came from. But then since having kids, it becomes more a 6 to 9 month process, really, to do it healthfully, to do it where you're not beating your body up too bad. It's still recovering for years, they've seen, after kids. Like, I think your body's not even fully recovered from the childbirthing process for, like, I think it was over a year. I forget. I'll have to look that up. It's like 1 or 2 years. It's pretty crazy. And then people are having kids, you know, close together. I mean, it's just a lot. So give yourself time and be patient. Don't get obsessed with the scale. I always tell people, take progress photos. Like, take a photo from your front, from your side profile, and from the back. Put a self timer on, or have your significant other or family member or somebody take it for you. I always recommend if you can take it before eating or drinking, because then it's just like your purest look. It doesn't have anything to do with what you ate that day, how much water you've already drank. It's just like your ground zero. And so have your progress pictures, and then just check on those pictures. You know, you could do it bi-weekly or frankly once a month. You know, and then look, and you're going to see change there. It's really cool, because especially if you do it once a month, because you've not looked at yourself in that way. And then all of a sudden you look and you're like, wow, that's really cool. So I love to do that for myself too. And then it gets me really proud, because I'm like, oh, I see that spot's really tightening up. Oh, that looks so much better. Oh, I see that little line there that I didn't have before. So I love progress pictures. And then, you could take measurements if you want to, but even more than measurements, it's really easy to compare like some clothes that you've got. So if you know you had some jeans that were tight, or you couldn't even fit in them at all post-baby, your hips were still wide and everything was, you know, had to burn some fat, then you just kind of re-compare how your clothes fit. And you're going to notice in that first month, get into a month and a half, things are starting to fit more comfortably, a little looser. Maybe, you know, your bras aren't digging in so bad in your lats and your back. And so little things like that to start paying attention to, which means those are your inches getting smaller. So if you want to take measurements, places I kind of measure is like around the bust, and then, your waist, so that space between the top of your hips and your lower ribs, so your waist, and then there's your hips, so that would be around kind of like the peak of your butt. And if you want, you can measure, I'm not too interested in thighs and whatever, because at least for me, I'm trying to put on muscle and stuff, but you can measure whatever, you know, you can measure around your arm if you need to lose some arm fat and so you want that to tighten up. So you can do that, and then again, you can compare your measurements, you know, once a month and just kind of see where you're at. Those areas are going to show results and be more indicative of progress than just looking at the scale. But the scale will eventually start to reflect as well what you're seeing in those inches as well. So give yourself time. You've got to be patient. You've got to just let the compound effect work. And I promise, once it does, it's all of a sudden like this big snowball. So know, like have a knowing that this, the compound effect is real, and small actions taken, compounded over time, consistently as a lifestyle change, will get you to the body that you're wanting to have and the feeling you're wanting to have on a cellular level. It will get you there. You just got to keep going. And then when you get there, what's really cool is you've gotten there in a non-aggressive, crazy way. And so it's you'll stay there. It's not going to be at risk to go away, because you're not going to get there and be like, phew, I need a break. No, you've gotten there gradually and in a completely attainable, maintainable way. So the other thing with consistency is, you know what? It's going to be uncomfortable. So Malia was a really hard baby, and I wasn't able to do as I'm talking about in this podcast. So I'm doing it because it's different than what I did with Malia. She was a very hard baby, and I just had to push through. So it wasn't pretty. The workouts might be 10 minutes. I had to hold her. I had to think of what I could do holding her, doing some squats, doing walking lunges. I'd press her up in the air instead of dumbbells. And I'd get, you know, I had to get creative with Malia because she was very hard. She had to be held literally all the time, or she was screaming until she started getting some consistent naps. That's just what we had to do. So you have to push through though, because even pushing through in those, just like, I'm thinking, this is you, what is this really doing? Lifting Malia up in the air, but it's working, especially if they get bigger, those little babies. I mean, if you think about it, they're probably at least, you know, hopefully maybe 6 pounds and up from there. So you're holding a dumbbell that's 6 pounds or more. But you just have to push through, because for babies and children, they do thrive on whatever routine you can create and whatever is expected. And you're starting to form in them. This is mommy or daddy's lifestyle. This is exercise time. You know, and again, for me personally, because I grew up in a home where there was eating disorder, and I don't phrase this as mommy's trying to lose weight and mommy's trying to burn fat and mommy's trying to fix her butt and mommy's trying to, you know, I don't, none of that, because it's not, it's about being healthy. Everyone needs to exercise. So when I take the girls for a walk, it's not like we're going to do cardio. I'm like, we're going to take a walk. We're going to get our bodies moving. You know, we're going to get outside. We're going to exercise so that we're healthy, is what I say. I'm not like, we're going to go out here and burn some calories. You know what I mean? No, especially having little girls. That's not what I'm looking to put in their heads. And in my head, that's how I talk to myself now, is that's not what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to feel really good and be very strong. I want to be a strong mom. That was a little bit of a side tangent, but so you're still setting the standard in consistency. Okay, this is when mommy works out. This is when mommy exercises. This is when mommy gets outside. And although Malia hated it at first, it wasn't what she wanted to do with the day. Now, and she's 3 and a half, she absolutely like loves it. So the thing is, like, it will suck for a while. It can't, it's a new routine to them. They don't know what to do. They're like, this is different. I just want to sit down and watch Cocomelon or crawl or whatever it is. And you're like, no, this is the exercise time. And you incorporate them as much as you can. Once they're sitting up and can play with toys, you sit their butt down and have them play with toys. You put a gate around them, whatever you need to do. And just let them be involved in any way you can. You know, do your sit-ups beside them and give them kisses on the way or whatever. You know, incorporate them, because then, although it sucks, you have so much, like, I'm someone that hates having, feeling disoriented with like too much multitasking going on in my head. I can multitask really good, but I like things to be in order. So if I feel like I'm functioning in chaos in my brain, I don't love it at all. But that is what you have to do in the beginning. It's a bunch of chaos. It's a bunch of crazy, but it will end. It just is for a time. And then there's a light switch that goes off in your kid's brain, and they start to accept that this is the routine and they look forward to it. And now they're almost going to be thrown off if they don't get it. And so it's really cool when that happens. So like, even when Malia still wanted held, she knew when workout time was. She got busy doing her stuff. She'd start pretending to work out with me, and it became this whole thing. And now she loves it. She more gets upset if she realizes I woke up early, which I do to do work before she's up. If she thinks I got up early to work out without her, she's very upset. But that's a really cool standard that has been set for her now, that mommy does. And then when you've had have other kids. So for Sailor, I think she's taken really well to my workout times. Not only because she is a chill baby, but your siblings are looking at the other siblings. And she already sees and knows that Malia accepts this is workout time. Hey, Malia is relaxed and excited about this walk. Let's see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens on this walk. You know, so Sailor already has the precedent set for her of what Malia already knows is the code of behavior. And that's going to lead into our next one in a moment. So stay consistent with it. It may suck hard. And then when they change, as I talked about with the plan and the start small, like where you plug this in the day may completely change from where it was before. So like now I work out during Sailor's naps. Ideally, if I can, because Malia likes to work out with me. It's easier. She can self-entertain, whether she watches a movie or plays in the gym. So I'll try to do it in Sailor's napping for 30 minutes. Both my, like, unless we've done the family walk, if I have to do a cardio, like on the treadmill or something, I try to do it in her two nap periods. But if that doesn't work, I'll do it during Malia's. So you kind of have your options in the day, but you have your number one option, your second option. But you stay consistent and push through, even if it's not worked out the way you want it to, because it's setting a standard and a routine for your kids that they will eventually accept as their norm, and it's gonna get easier. So just know that it'll be really tough for a little while. It's gonna be a lot of multitasking. You're gonna feel crazy. You're gonna stop, start. It will settle down. I promise you, but you just have to push through with the consistency, and it will pay off so big in the long run, and it's teaching them really great things long term. So the last thing that leads to, as I was talking about with this code of behavior that you're going to create, the last piece of advice is be disciplined. So like I would say the number one thing that I get asked is, as far as health and fitness goes, is how do you stay so motivated? How do you do it all? How do you stay so motivated? Well, the answer to that is you don't. You don't. Motivation isn't the key. That's where we kind of misplace the credit for any part of success. We're like, how do you stay motivated? No, it's not about motivation. Motivation's a feeling. In fact, I looked it up specifically. The exact definition of motivation is a desire to act in service of a goal. The desire to act, you guys. That is not something that you can count on. That is very variable. And you throw children in the mix and you can just freaking bury that in the ground. like motivation is not your vehicle to success, y'all. Like, especially in how to get in shape after babies, how to be successful. Motivation will wane. It will come and go. It's a feeling. It is a desire to act in service of what your goal is. It is not the vehicle. The vehicle is discipline. And when I looked up, just because I wanted to have a very equal comparison, discipline, the exact definition of discipline, is a practice or a code of behavior, rules or standards that are intentionally set by you. Y'all, things like that get done. Things like that get done, not by motivation, but by discipline. They get done because it is a practice that you have honed in. Right? You've created your plan. You know you're starting small. You know where you're going to build to. You've decided to be consistent, and you're going to push through those things, and you're going to be disciplined to make it a consistent practice for yourself, and it will become a code of behavior in your household. It will be a rule. It's a standard, and it's intentionally set by you, and your children follow you. You are the leader. Where you're supposed to be. You're trying to be. You know, that is the goal. Is you are the leader. They are watching you. They will follow you till a certain age. That's why we have to try to lead our best, because they are watching us. So in the health and fitness area, talking about getting in shape after babies, the standard is set by you. And that's where I did a post not long ago about, you know, one of the top reasons people don't get in shape. And ultimately it comes down to, you know, you have to be important enough to yourself. And a lot of people are like, but I find myself important. I'm like, but no, you don't. If you're not getting in shape, if you're not getting the health results that you want, and you're so busy and you're doing all these other things, it's not because you're so busy and you're doing all these other things. It's because you made all these other things more important than yourself. Because at the end of the day, especially if you have kids, you will make mountains move for your children. It doesn't matter how busy your schedule is. If your kid wants to go, is like passionate about doing this certain thing, and it's at this place in the schedule. You're going to rework the schedule. You're going to burn yourself out to do it. I mean, you're going to do what you have to do for your child. Why? Because you love them enough. You love them unconditionally. You know, they mean everything to you. And so you make it happen. And it's like amazing what people can juggle with how many kids they have and all the activities their kids are in, what their kids are passionate about, fueling their dreams. Like, it's crazy what lengths parents will go to make stuff happen for their kids. But so you can make all of that happen, but you can't fit in a 30-minute workout for yourself. The only answer to why that is because then, because you are not a priority to you, because you have not made yourself important enough. You don't love yourself enough. That's a hard thing for people to hear, but that's the reality. How can you make all these other things happen? No matter how hard, because you love those things enough. You love the people behind those things enough. So if you love yourself enough, if you get really real about that, you can carve out a tiny amount of time to give yourself what you need to actually be better at all the other things that you're doing, to be a better service for all those other things. You'd be a better vessel for your job, for your family, for your kids, to be running around doing all this stuff. You're going to have more cellular energy to do all the things that you want to do. So that's the reality. So getting back to being disciplined. So if you want to feel healthy and get in shape and feel better after you've had babies, you will have to be important enough to yourself to make it a practice, to make it a code of behavior. And again, like I said, with little kids, the time of day of which mommy or daddy does their standard of exercise, their code of behavior, their practice, that might change in the day, but the kids know it's coming. It's going to happen. And like I said, once you get the shift of the next phase and age, like, it will become consistent as to when that's plugged in until the next shift happens. Then it might be in a different place, but then it's consistent there. And so they know it's still expected. So discipline is really the key, not motivation, because motivation's going to wane. Motivation's a feeling. It's going to be fleeting. It's going to come and go. It's great when it's there. It sure is. But at the end of the day, there's times in life where you got to get stuff done because it's important, and not because you need to feel good while you're doing it. Not because it's going to be fun. Not because it's going to be organized. Not because it's going to go well. Not because it's going to look pretty. You know, like, you're just going to make it happen because it's a code. I love that word. I don't know. It's a code of behavior. It sounds really like Three Musketeers or something. It is a code for you to live by for yourself. And again, if you're going to bind yourself in a code, that's a big deal. So you have to be a big deal to yourself. So, you know, look into that and assess that part for yourself, because that's going to be really make or break whether all these other things I've just talked about, you know, that you can live those out. So in the be disciplined sections, where I wanted to throw in the whole messy action thing is, like I said, it's not gonna, with kids, exercise and these things, it's not going to be what you see on Instagram. Like, that's one thing that's really led me to be super successful, especially the second time, in getting in shape is, you know, I haven't been as active on Instagram. I haven't been videoing it, you know, the workouts, take as many pictures or what, you know. I'm just getting the workout done, frankly, you know, because there's not a lot of time. There's still, like, I still just get 30 minutes is really what I keep the workout. I'm doing good. If I get 45, that's pretty cool. I'll take any extra time I get. But, you know, really it's going to be 30 minutes for sure. And I can just hone in and get that hard. I'm not wasting time videoing it, not making sure everybody on Instagram, you know, I mean, sometimes I do. I try to, you know, but what if I do, I've actually done the workout already. And then I take that boomerang after, or I take that video of that exercise after, right? So I actually do what I need to do first. And then if a child isn't screaming and I have time, then I'll take a few pictures or videos for something that I can share with y'all later. So, you know, Instagram doesn't come first, or taking the pictures or whatever. So looking cute. I would love to look, especially if I am going to have time to take pictures for you guys and be something I could share on Instagram. You know, I don't have time to get cute and get the workout in. For me personally, getting cute isn't high enough on my priority list over the working out part. So I'm just going to work out. I may have my glasses on. I may still even be my, sometimes I even work out my PJ still, because I just don't even, like, if I know it's a wily day for the kids and it might even take 10 minutes of my workout to go get changed and, you know, pick an outfit and whatnot, I'm just going to work out my pajamas. I'm going to take my shoes off and work out my pajamas, and then that's it. So again, just take messy action, checks the box. Messy action fulfills the code, right? So it doesn't matter how it looks. If you've shown up in your robe and your glasses and no makeup, you know, for your audience, but you showed up and you provided value, that was better than having less time to give value because you had to go get more ready, you know, or whatever. So messy action is huge to fulfill, especially with children, you know, the practices that you want to implement and create. So I hope this was helpful. So in total, how to get in shape after baby is my 4 top pieces of advice would be to plan ahead, to start small, be consistent, and be disciplined. So hopefully the details in each of those was helpful. I will definitely can talk more and in depth. There's a lot on my Instagram of my post-baby fitness. I've got highlights called post-baby fit. I've made there's a part 1, part 2, because I guess you run out of tiles. And then I've got meal ideas. So, you know, if you're curious more exactly what I eat, like in the highlights reel that I have of meals, healthy meal options, there's 2 parts. There's tons of meals and how I make them and what they are. And what meal they're for. Like, so I give tons of just ideas and show you exactly what I eat on my Instagram, which is Gena, spelled J-E-A-N-A underscore Oldham, O-L-D-H-A-M, as in Mary. So meal ideas are on there, and then video are walks and things. I have workouts on there too. I need to do more highlights of the workouts. So I've been videoing, like I said, at the end of my workout, like one short snippet of each of the things that I did. I just need to add them into my highlights. Really, I haven't done that yet, but there are some in the post baby fit section. I'd show you some of the exercises. In fact, the very first one of the highlight is me doing my very first workout with Sailor, and I'm holding her doing curtsy lunges, holding her. So like you can get just ideas from that if you want, but constantly in my stories or whatever, I'm usually just sharing you with you my day and what it looks like and fitting fitness into that day and what that looks like. So if you need ideas from there, and of course feel free to message me, because when people message me and I get enough messages about the similar topic, then that can become another podcast episode. I'm like, okay, people want to hear a little more in depth about this, so then I'll do something a little more in depth about that. So if you have further questions from this, shoot me a message, and then I can either just direct message you, or again, if enough people are asking the same thing, then I will make it a whole nother podcast episode for you guys. So hope this was helpful. Again, if you enjoyed it or any of the other podcast episodes, please go leave a 5-star review, and please screenshot this episode and share it in your stories. And I would love to reshout you out. Thank you all so much for being here. Love y'all, and catch you on the next one.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.